the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're blessed to be spending the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We're looking here on the Refresh radio program for the people of God to be walking delivered from all the works of the flesh. Listen, as we get through this study, you're going to find that there's a whole bunch of stuff. I like what we shared in one of the other programs, that Peter was delivered from the hands of Herod, I believe it says, and from the expectations of all the people. I pray that those people who are just watching, waiting for you to fail, are going to be greatly disappointed, because God has delivered you from their expectations to his plan and purpose for your life that he created for you from before the foundation of the world. So want to say thank you once again to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I was talking to someone on the telephone last week, and they actually know Jit on a personal basis, and said, yeah, I can tell you exactly where I met them. I met them on a construction site a bunch of years ago, and I mean, it was a long time ago. And so if you're looking for someone that is stable, that is connected to Brevard County, listen, you cannot stay in business for as long as they've been in business if you are doing a poor job or if you are not treating people well. And so if you have a block job or a concrete job that you need done, I encourage you to give the folks at Jits Concrete a phone call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Have them come out. Now listen, you've got to understand, construction is booming right now. So you don't need to call them on Tuesday and say, hey, can you come and you know, do this Wednesday morning? That's not the way construction is working right now. 10 years ago, maybe, but right now that's not the way that it's working. And so if you've got a project that's coming up in the near future, give them a phone call, 321-536-5804. I know it's not a flashy thing, not anybody ever thinks about. You know, in some of those home improvement programs, if there's concrete work that needs to be done, they just moan about it because it's not the glamour, it's not the glitz. But I'm telling you, in your spiritual life and in construction, the foundation is vitally important. 321-536-5804 if you want your building project off on a solid foundation. So want to invite you out once again to the men's breakfast at River of Life. You need to call them today to let them know that you will be coming. We actually notified them of how many people we were having to come a week ago. And so 321-452-6990 is the phone number for the offices at River of Life Assembly of God on North Courtney Parkway. And if you know some men that would benefit from hearing the experiences of a former Navy SEAL and a person who will challenge you in your faith, walk with God, let them know about this breakfast that is coming up on Saturday. On Sunday, we're going to be having church Sunday morning and Sunday night at Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you be a part of what God is doing. 10:30 of the morning, we are seeing some exciting things happen in our services, and praying for miracles and God to do great and mighty things. So that is what is coming up this week. I want to take you now to the Word of God. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Yesterday we were talking about being delivered from the old covenant that we could walk in the new covenant. And that's where we're going to pick up today. We will talk some more as we go through this passage about what the law was intended to do, what it does for us, and how sin operates. We're basically going to go through all of Romans chapter 7, not word by word, but we're going to touch on several important topics. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 7 and verse number 5, and it says there, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Let me read that to you again. "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." So I want you to see that Paul writes here that liberation from the old covenant, that deliverance from the old covenant, sets us up in verse 4, that we should bear fruit to God. We talked about that. But now it talks about this new life, this covenant with the resurrected Savior. What is life supposed to look like for us now? And it says that having died to what we were held by, we were delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that, there's the purpose, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. So it is not just that we are serving. It is not just that we are doing something. It is the process, it is the manner, it is the spirit that we operate in that is completely different. It's not just a rehash of the same old stuff. This is a completely different type of life. You know, under the old covenant, it was words, it was commandments that were written on tablets of stone. But this new covenant is the requirements of God written on our spirit. They're written on our heart. He's taken out our old heart. He's given us a tender heart. He's given us a new heart and a new spirit whereby we can serve Him. Okay? You know, if I were to go into the hospital with a life-threatening condition and actually died, and then they raised me back up, but I still had the same thing that I had before, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something where I am raised up in a completely different and transformed manner than I went before. I want to be raised in resurrection power. So everybody that is walking in covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords should have this attitude, this mindset. Hey, I've been saved to serve the King. You know, in the Psalms it says, "Oh, just to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord." It doesn't matter whether you know what your title is. It's about serving. You know, the word minister it basically means servant. That's what it means. But we live in a culture where, you know, you have the minister of this or the minister of that governmental agency and things like that. And it becomes a prestigious title. It has deteriorated from a mindset of being a servant of the people to an occupation of privilege. And when that happens, you do not operate with the same dynamic or the same spirit that you were intended to. Listen, government is supposed to be for the people, not oppressing the people. That's my understanding of it. The ministry is not about what can the church do for me. Now, listen, the church treats me very, very well. I mean, we've come a long way, baby, since the early days, and we're extremely thankful. We're extremely blessed. But the mindset that I have is I'm still serving the King. I'm still serving the one who died to set me free from the things that were trying to destroy me. He has delivered me from those things. Okay? I've got a deliverance that I see on the horizon, and I'm celebrating it already. I'm looking forward to a financial deliverance. If you want to know, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the liberty that is going to bring into my life, not just for the chance to catch a breath of fresh air financially, but because that's going to empower me and enable me to be even more of a servant in the area of finances when it comes to missions and ministry around the globe. Okay? So everybody should be serving. Okay? Now, I appreciate staff. I wish I had more staff. We've got myself. I'm the only full-time employee that Merit Assembly has. I've got an office manager that is phenomenal at what she does. She's part-time. She's 2 days a week. I've got a worship leader who serves part-time. And then I've got a number of people who volunteer. So I'm thankful for staff, and I'm thankful for volunteers. But if we ever get to that place where a church says, well, the people don't really need to be involved in ministry because that's what staff is for, I'm telling you, that misses the heartbeat of God. And if we ever get to the place where the staff says, well, we don't really need to be serving because that's what the volunteers do, I'm telling you, there we miss the heart of God. If we get to the place where anybody thinks that they are not in a position of service, they have missed part of what God wants to manifest in our life. We have the privilege of serving God, and it cannot be a have-to situation. I hope that you can tell from the way that I talk about this that this is not a ministry that I have to do. I was serving as the pastor before this radio program ever started. Now, I do have a compulsion to do the radio program because I believe I have a mandate from God to do that. So it isn't a have to. This is a privilege. It's a ministry. It is a way that I serve God and serve the Christian community and the unsaved community in Brevard County, is to bring the Word of God in such a way that I'm serving, I'm providing a service that is benefiting people. One of the greatest ministries that you will ever accomplish in your life is when God reveals a need to you and He says, I've equipped you to be able to meet that need. Okay? I want to challenge you that if you're in a church, don't just be the person that points out the problem. I remember a job that I had one time, and they said, if you see a problem, God's revealed it to you, therefore you are the solution to that problem. If you may not be able to solve the problem all by yourself, but you ought to be able to serve. If you see a problem, there needs to be a solution. Okay. And so anytime somebody just goes off and starts complaining about something, and you know, one of my first responses is, okay, how are you going to solve this problem? How are you going to solve it? Because a lot of people are already solving lots of problems. And so one of the things that we find to be very successful is if we get to a place where someone else can do a project that we had done before, we want to pass that off. We want to delegate it to them so that they can have the privilege of serving God with their skill set. Okay? And so it is not just about service, but it is in the attitude. It is in the spirit that we do that. And so Paul says, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. The oldness of the letter says, well, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And I have to. And I don't really want to, but I'm going to do it. If I don't do it, then I've sinned. And you know, there's a bondage type mindset with that. But this new covenant that Paul is writing about, that the children of God are delivered to, is that when we serve as if it's a brand new opportunity for the Spirit of the living God to work in us and through us to accomplish his good pleasure. Do you remember how excited you were the day you first got a job? I'm going to put it in this one. I get to go bag groceries. I was so excited about that job. And then I got promoted to cashier. I remember when I was in college, I got a full-time job during the day as a saw operator and a pipe threader. And you talk about a messy job, but I was thankful to have that job. But before I'd ever go to that job, I helped my parents throw papers. And then after that, after I got off work, then I went to school. I went to night school, and I was a full-time student during that. So I was a busy guy, but man, I was thankful. I was thankful for that. Let me bring this into the spirit realm. Can you remember the joy that you felt in your life when you first realized that you had asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and he had wiped your sins away? Not just suspended them like under the old law where, you know, we're going to wipe that away and a year later you're going to come back and we're going to wipe it away again, and people just went through the same cycle over and over and over again. You know, just the day after you'd received forgiveness, you were right back at it again. Do you remember what joy there was when you realized that God had given you grace to live a holy life? When you got to go to church, you didn't have to go to church. You got to worship God, you didn't have to worship God. You see, I think that if we realize that we've lost the wonder of Christian community, if we've lost the wonder of seeing the lost born again and saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, then we need to go back to the altar and say, God, would you renew a right spirit in me? Would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? Listen, Jesus didn't save you to make you miserable. He didn't save you so that you wouldn't be able to enjoy things in life. Exactly the opposite. He delivered us from those things that were making us miserable and depriving us of joy and health and peace. And he's brought us into this new covenant where we get to experience not just life, but resurrection life. I'm telling you, life as a believer in Jesus Christ is the highest quality of life that you can live. You know, they talk about that a person with a clean conscience doesn't go to bed with any regrets. And I want to let you know that you and I, we get to walk with this clean spiritual slate. And with that realization in our life, we serve with a renewed sense of spirit, if you will, because we want everybody else to experience this same joy that we have, this same freedom. You know, I invented a saying a long time ago that too many times Christians walk around looking like they've been baptized in lemon juice and they're constantly miserable. There's no joy in their life. There is nothing appealing about their life, nothing enticing about their life. And yet when they go around and tell others about, you know, the Word of God, it comes across as like, don't you want to accept Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior so you can be just as miserable as I am? Listen, misery loves company is a saying, but it's not in the Bible. It's you and I were not saved to be miserable. We were saved from misery. We were saved because there's abundant life that God has for us. We were saved because he wants us to walk in a completely different type of covenant than we had before. So he moves on here to verse number 7, and he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. And so that's what we see. We see that the law was the tool of revelation to let us know that we were missing the mark, missing the target that God had for us. I don't want to miss the mark. I don't know about you, but when I'm eating, I don't want to miss my mouth. I want to find my mouth. When I'm carrying something, I don't want to miss the mark that of something that I was going to set it down, because then that makes a big mess. If I'm going to sit in the chair, I don't want to miss the chair and wind up on the floor. When I'm driving down the road, I don't want to miss the lane of traffic and find a solid object. Those are all practical examples of what missing the mark can look like. But we're talking about we can't afford to miss the mark spiritually. That's one of the definitions of sin, is missing the mark. The law let us know that we were missing the mark of behavior, of attitude, of relationship that God has for us. Okay? Now, I'll tell you this. It's a lot easier to miss the mark than it is to hit it. If you don't believe me, watch me on a golf course. I've only been on a golf course twice so far this year. Maybe the latter part of the year I'll get to visit a golf course a little bit more, but twice is all I've got. But I tell you, after golfing for 4 or 5 decades now, that I've still found that it's a lot easier to miss the mark than it is to hit it. But I tell you what God does. God establishes another covenant with us, and he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal myself. I'm going to make it simple for you. Okay. Love the Lord your God. Okay. Let me do this. Let me tell you the way that people think that this is said, and then I'll explain how it's actually said. Okay. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way that they think that the greatest commandment goes. But the commandment actually goes this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is likened unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? And so when we are talking about loving God, we're not just talking about, oh yeah, I know God. When we're talking about this new covenant that we have with God, We're not just talking about, yeah, I prayed a prayer and my sins are forgiven. We're all good. You know, would you consider yourself in love with a person if you never spoke with them? Would you consider yourself in love with a person if you never visited them and it was in your power to do so? Would you consider yourself in love with a person if you never invested anything into the relationship other than occasionally waving at them when you saw them walking through the grocery store? That would not be a definition of love that would be adequate for me. So my understanding is that God says, here's the greatest commandment. Love God and be all in loving God. Be emotionally invested in it, invested in your strength, in your time, in your finances. Everything that you have is poured into this relationship. It is the most important relationship on the planet. That's what happens under the new covenant. We realize Jesus was all in for us, and we are all in for him. And when I love myself enough to love God that way, I'm going to love my neighbor that same way. I'm going to want them to know that I'm all in our relationship as well, and that I want them to be all in with their relationship with Jesus. There's too much timidity in our relationships. There's too much fear of failure in our relationship. And I will tell you this. If you ever hold back, you will never experience the fullness of joy that relationship could bring. Too many people have the escape hatch plan, and they're always looking, is it so bad that I've got to get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out? And I want to encourage you to do this. Blow the escape hatch. Just don't worry. You know, when I fell in love with my wife, I realized that at some point in time, the odds are very high one of us is going to die before the other, unless the Lord comes back, and that's okay with me too. But the only relationship that I know that I'm never going to be experience any hurt in is my relationship with Jesus. He will never fail me. He will never disappoint me, and he won't do it for you. I encourage you today, be all in with your relationship with God. Love him with everything you've got and love others as you love yourself, and you are going to find an entirely different quality of life. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.